Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like geography, the visual arts, performing arts, storytelling, and literature. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Monigar, the founder of Monigar.com, a small tech company based in the Akwesasne Indian Reservation. Monigar develops XR, aka extended reality, solutions and custom software with a focus on indigenous language revival, futurism, and culture.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. I wanted to loop back around to the extended reality. You work on so many different platforms. So how did you get into doing XR work? And what is the evolution of what kind of platforms you've been using and what you've been using them for?
Really, it comes down to making a solution with what I have to work with, because the core of what I do is to revive my language. So in the beginning, it was just for me, and I had access to things that the general public didn't. So it was pretty wild. Like, we even had it where those AI bots were text-to-speech. Those were actually put into remote control robots that we would roll down the street. It was insane. But like, that's not really appropriate for the general public. So now, as it's evolved, I have a big focus on what is actually accessible to the people that want to use this, that enjoy it, and also what is reusable to like all these techies that are unkwahumwe that want to build their own solutions. So I have a GitHub repository right now where we're just building that up and starting to talk with a lot of new people about how can they reuse all the stuff that I built for their own projects, even their own languages that are different than mine.
And does that include environments and the AIs themselves and textures and whatnot so they can get up and running a lot quicker if they wanted to?
Yep. And including, I call AI ML, so artificial intelligence markup language, is really old. It's like the smoke and mirrors of AI, but I want to make that so it's reusable by unkwahumwe teams for their own language and culture.
When it comes to some of the environments and AIs that you've created, what I saw was a Vimeo sort of introduction to what you're doing. But practically speaking, does someone need to have special software on their phone or laptop?
Or have an Oculus?
Yeah, so the stuff right now for the general public, you just need a connection to the internet and either phone or a tablet or a laptop, and you can access it that way to hear the language. It's just animations and film. Then I have other stuff for people that are into virtual reality. So there's things in the Oculus store, and there's things in the Steam VR store. There's even stuff on itch.io. And then the other stuff that's really technical, that really is for engineers that I'm talking with and their unkwahumwe, the goal is that will be available. So that's more accessing the code. And I'm looking at, you know, making it so that it's an API available to people, like software as a service. That's really what I'm looking at so that people can reuse it.
But on the virtual reality side, if they get this from the Oculus store, then it's presumed that whatever viewing software they need is pretty standard in that way.
Yeah, because Oculus and Steam, they have a whole thing they do. They test all your stuff. If it's not working right for an end user that's not technical, they won't allow you in the stores.
I'm really curious, on this kind of work, how are you making a living at this?
So last year, I was accepted for my very first grant. So I got a grant from Canada Council, and it's covered me from last September until May of this year for this mohawklanguage.ca. All of that stuff I'm doing right now is covered by a grant. And that pays for all the people that I hire and the production and some of the software, whatever I need to make this happen. But typically, I do what any tech person does. I do my tech interviews, I get hired, and I don't have a social life. I just use my money to build these things.
So for a while, you were doing your regular commercial work, and that's how you pay your bills. But now it sounds like you're trying to take it to the next level and get funding for it directly.
Yeah, but I want to mention, though, he doesn't like to be acknowledged. He's really shy. I met my husband about 18 years ago, And honestly, there have been times where, like, say, if I couldn't get a job or whatever, he made sure everything was taken care of. He made sure I was taken care of and all these projects are paid for.
And, you know, I think for a lot of people, creative and tech professionals, you're often trying to do work that you find interesting and meaningful. And some of it you're trying to get paid for.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm always looking at, like, how am I going to make this so that people can benefit from it? Because otherwise, that'd be kind of silly if I'm just making it only for me and then it dies with me. That'd be kind of silly, I think. But if that's what's meant to be, it will happen too.
So you've got some stuff that you're letting loose to engineers who might want to reuse some of the things that you've created. Are you putting any binders on them in terms of what they can and can't do with this? In our earlier discussions, it seems like you have a very, very clear sense of the ways in which you don't necessarily want this effort and technology to be used. But do you have concerns that others might not take the same approach? You know, are there license agreements? That's sort of what I'm asking also. Are there privacy considerations, permissions considerations, given that some of the stuff is recorded speakers and whatnot? Does that kind of make sense?
Totally makes sense. So in the 90s, things that I was approached with to make in the tech industry, I will just say gross and vulgar sometimes, okay? So I was very aware of situations. So one of the first things I did with my AI bots is I developed the Monogar Guardian of AI Code of Ethics. Because I used to get hired by the tech industry to write up all these corporate policies. So I did that for the AI, and I put everything you can imagine in there, like every nightmare, and like, this is how we got to deal with it. Say if a person's a fluent speaker and they didn't grow up with tech, they have no idea, like, unless someone talks with them about, this is what happens in the tech industry, literally what has happened in the tech industry, and this is what I did to protect us, correct the situation. What's that video game that came out there, and they can't stop people from being very disrespectful with Keanu Reeves' character. Like, that's a well-known issue since at least the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, they don't think about these things in the big picture.
When you're sharing the back-end technology or the models or the work, whatever it is that you might want to share, you actually go over what you consider the ethical considerations of how this stuff should be used.
Yeah, absolutely. There's other things too. It gets pretty messy, but I do the really uncomfortable conversations with local people about laws. Like, do you want it to be under our traditional laws? The great law of peace. Do you want it to be under English laws? Do you want it to be under Canadian laws? What would you like to do in this situation? Because I need to know who I'm working with. For me personally, I've learned the very hard, painful way that with this kind of work, if someone chooses to appropriate or abuse or disrespect, that is definitely not mine to carry. I'll do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen, but it's not mine to carry. So I don't go and play identity police or anything like that, because when you look at the natural world and natural law, which I'm a fan of, that's when you see those people being held accountable by the public. Like, if you're doing something dirty to Ungwahumwe people, you're going to pay whether there's English laws or not.
You actually brought up something important for your work, which doesn't apply to all people working in this space, which is you've got aspects that could fall under tribal law, you've got aspects that could fall under Canadian law, you have aspects that maybe could fall under American law. I don't know if it matters, but where are your files and services actually hosted? You know, if your servers are in America, then does American law apply?
So in the 90s, I was building it in New York State, and then some things happened where I was being threatened. People were trying to steal stuff. So I literally took it offline for a while and stored it somewhere that I won't say and just let it be. But nowadays, we have people that have servers on reservations. But these are all different people all over North America. And we haven't come up with the solution, but we're communicating and figuring it out based on what we have to work with. But as far as laws go, I'm a little bit of a jerk with that, because I think from the time I was born, I constantly have people colonizing me, like forcefully colonizing me. You have to ask permission to speak. You have to ask permission to exist, all of that. So I have this personality trait where I push back. I don't need anyone's permission to exist. Here I am, and I'm doing the best I can with what I have to work with. So all these English and Canadian laws, frankly, they have nothing to do with anything that I'm doing, because they're not my owners. And they're not the owners of our language, of our culture, any of that. They have no say in this. Only people that have say in this is our Ungwahumwe people.
And it sounds like there's getting to be a pretty substantial community, not just of Ongwe-Hunwe people, but of indigenous creatives and developers all across the world. And so is there a sense that you guys are creating your own standards for ethics and for service and for ownership?
Yes and no, because creating standards, to me, I'm like, even that AI Guardian Code of Ethics, I can't take credit for that because it's based on the way I was raised. You know, it's based on my culture and how I was raised. And all of that comes from my ancestors, my community, and the people. It's never just one person. Sometimes it looks like it's solitary and stuff, but it really is never like that. Not in these projects that you see today. Like my first day of doing this, yes, I mean, I was by myself, didn't tell anybody. It actually connected me back to my community so I could heal and do it properly. Because if you do stuff totally by yourself in isolation and you're disconnected, that's not a healthy way to do anything. And that's where I think that big ego is coming to play. You get disconnected and even start thinking you're going to save people. Like it's very unhealthy.
You couldn't have spoken truer words, especially in these weird times of isolation. I know how things work out here, but is your reservation, is that a sovereign nation? Is there a similar thing with the Canadian side of things?
It's a good question. Honestly, for me, even the word sovereign is very triggering because everyone talks about it, but what is it to be sovereign? Like, I mean, my whole life is violent, genocidal colonization. So am I sovereign? I mean, I don't know. It's really triggering to me, that question, because to even say that word starts freaking wars around here. I can't even answer that, really.
Then maybe I should rephrase, and thanks for bearing with me, because I'm trying to understand. Theoretically, is your reservation supposed to be its own country in that way?
Yeah. So I can't speak for my reservation on that sense, but I can speak for my personal views on that. My personal view is based on the language, which is connected to our homelands, is Ungwahumwe people, original human beings, from the north to the south pole, this is our homelands. Obviously, I have some DNA ancestors who are not from these homelands. That's how I see the world, but it doesn't mean that's how the rest of the people see the world, and they treat me accordingly. As far as I'm concerned, personally, all the treaties are I've never seen those treaties be upheld. What's that to me? It means nothing to me. Yes, we're a reservation, but we also have people that are Catholic. Some are Christians. Some are Muslims. Some are longhouse. Some are traditional. You got people like me where I'm not quite in any of those. So for me, I can't answer that for my entire reservation.
Well, part of why I was asking is because I was really struck when you said how you've got people that may be scattered right now geographically, but they're trying to address the issues, which I think are really critical, because whether that server was on the res or whether it was in Canada or whether it was in America could at some point matter.
It always matters. It always matters. And I have been threatened with, you name it. Been in the tech industry over 30 years. I've seen a lot of things and like had some clients like aren't really very nice sometimes, you know? They want to own all of your equipment. Like one year I got so sick, I was dying. When everyone found out, people started calling. They wanted all my equipment. Like, give us your equipment.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely always on my mind. And there will always be people that want to exploit because they're leading their lives and everything by fear. Maybe they're afraid their family will starve or they won't get the new car. That's always going to happen. But we can't let that lead our work. We just can't.
Well, Monégar, I just want to say this has just been absolutely inspirational speaking with you today. If I can say it right, Nyawe. Thank you so much for your time. And I really am excited about spending more time in some of your virtual worlds.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure to talk with you guys.
And if you would like more information, you can visit mohawklanguage.ca or monégar.com online. And that's monígarr.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.